those verses reading, but this parable really so closely ties in to what Jesus is saying around. I think it'd be worth actually just reading together last week's section again and tying it into this. So let's read together from verse 10. Mark 4, verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." And he said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." So Jesus has just told the parable of the sower. And then later, when he's alone with his 12 disciples and some other followers, they ask him about the parables. And Jesus explains the parable of the sower to them. And he also explains to them the reason why he talks in parables. He makes a division between two types of people: those who understand and those who don't. A division between those who are receiving the kingdom and those on the outside who aren't. A division between those who hear his word and accept it and those who hear but don't accept his word. So why does the seed that is sown, the word of God, encounter such different responses? Why do some people accept the word in their hearts and bear fruit, but others, like rocky soil, are choked with thorns and the word dies out and they don't bear fruit? Is there anything wrong with the sower, or is there anything wrong with the quality of the seed? Are our hearts just made the way they are? Or is there something more to it? Are we responsible for whether or not the word of God grows in our hearts? And a question that you may have asked yourself as we've gone through these parables is, which of these soils is my heart like? And maybe even, can my heart be changed? So Jesus now tells some more little parables about the parables, which gives us some further insight. Now, the first thing we see is that it matters how we treat God's word. The same word goes out to everyone, but only some people choose to accept his words. The key to the kingdom of God is accepting the word as the word of Jesus. And that's our first point. The good soil heart accepts the word. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand?" Now, for us, with our choice of fluoro LEDs and halogen lights and lamps, this saying needs a little explanation. But it would have made perfect sense to a Jew in those times. The lamp in a one-room house was a very familiar object, as too was the lampstand. the lamp, which had a flame, would be brought in and placed on a special place and stand so it could give light to the whole room. To put the bowl under a lamp, put the lamp under a bowl, or a bushel as it was known in those times, as well as hiding the light, would snuff it out. Putting the lamp under a bed with a likely straw mattress would set the whole bed on fire. As well as hiding the light, it would snuff it out, and you'd be a very dangerous thing to do. So the answer to Jesus' question, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed, was, of course not. That would be silly. So what does Jesus mean, and what is he talking about? Well, Jesus is talking about himself. Jesus is the lamp. John writes the following about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And further, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus is the lamp, and his word is the light. He's come into this world to give light to everyone in darkness, everyone in sin. And his word, the light, is the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news about kingdom of God, forgiveness of sins, eternal life for everyone who believes it. This is the secret of the kingdom which Jesus has been teaching. Verse 22, for whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. The secret of the kingdom of God is meant to be disclosed. It's being brought out into the open for everyone to hear, where it belongs, on its stand. The good news is for everyone. But Jesus follows with, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So who was really hearing him? We read that huge crowds followed Jesus, thousands of them, listened to his teaching about the kingdom of God. They were amazed at his teaching. They were amazed at the healings and the miracles that he did. Jesus was a really cool guy to be around when you wanted entertainment. There was always something happening. And while some people speculated that he was John the Baptist or the prophet Elijah, they didn't seriously consider Jesus to be the promised Messiah, their king, the one foretold in Scripture. Most people weren't really interested in who he was. They were much more interested in what Jesus did. But Jesus was revealing himself through his words and actions to those who considered carefully and would listen. And while many heard him speak, they didn't look any deeper and respond to him. They heard his words, but they didn't accept them as the words of God. They didn't realize that Jesus was the King of the universe. Now, our King Jesus is now at God's right hand in heaven, but he's still speaking to us through his word, the Bible, today. The Bible is God's word about and from Jesus. He uses his word to reveal himself to us. The reading of the Bible, the preaching of his word, are some of the ways in which his word goes out. And as we hear his words, even today, we are obliged to respond. How will we listen to Jesus? Will we listen to his words as the words of a king and accept them? Will we treat his words as light from a lamp and put it on a stand in our lives? Will we receive him as the king of our lives? Or will we listen to his words as the words of just a man, words which we can choose to accept or ignore as we will? Will we hide his words under a bed, under a bowl, somewhere where it's nicely covered and can't shine in our lives? Of course not. The good soil heart accepts the word of God as the word of God. I was speaking recently with a colleague, and when I mentioned that I was preparing a sermon, they said, "Oh, that's interesting. I've been to quite a few church services and heard quite a few sermons, and I've always found them really good." Now, assuming that the good news of Jesus was actually preached at these churches, which it would have been, I can only conclude that while the word of God was sown, and my colleague heard the words and thought they were good, they weren't taken seriously. The words preached were received as the words of a man, but not as the word of God. And it's ultimately a rejection of God and his word. Jesus sows the word into our hearts, and it's the responsibility of the hearer to respond. Accept his words or reject his words. They're the only two choices we have when we hear the words of Jesus. But let's dig a little deeper into this. Is it just a matter of accepting Jesus into our hearts, his word, and then saying, "Eureka, I have the kingdom of God, all is well"? Well, that's a good initial response, but what will show that you've really accepted the word of God? Jesus shows that the good soil hears the word and uses it to grow and bear fruit. And that's our second point. The good soil heart uses the word. Jesus continues, "Consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more." Now, what does Jesus mean by this? We heard a bit about it at the kids' talk, and it's helpful for us to look at it in the context of the time. For in a Galilean town at that time, if someone went out to buy something like flour, they would pay for it on a fixed price per measure, and the measure would be a certain size bowl. But what if the customer could determine the size of the measure they would use? Just like in the kids' talk, you'd use the biggest measure you could get, wouldn't you? So what's being measured out according to the measure we use? Well, if we look at the context, we find it's the word of God. Jesus is speaking the word of God to all those around him. And he's saying that what you receive from the word will depend on the measure you use, the way you use and listen to his word. Jesus says we need to consider his words carefully. In other words, consider what it is you're hearing. It's to be heard and applied with the most careful thought and consideration. For whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Again, we have words of Jesus that indicate there are two separate groups of people, the haves and the have-nots. The haves are those who have the word, who hear the word and accept the word, and their hearts are changed. They love the word and they use the word. They put God's word into practice. They put his words on a lampstand in their lives, and they follow God's word. God speaks to us through his word, imparting truth, wisdom, instruction. If we receive and use it like the good soil, it will produce more of these good things in our lives. As we hear and consider God's word, the more we do it, the more our desire for God's word will grow. The more we hear and follow God's word, the more our understanding of God's word will increase. Those who have some wisdom, some love, some fruit will be given more as they hear, listen, and apply God's word. Whoever has will be given more. See, Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the teachings of Jesus, but they were eager to understand. Look at verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. They didn't fully understand, but they wanted to know what he meant. They weren't just there for the miracles and the stories. They wanted to know more about God's word and responded with action. They asked him to explain. And Jesus gives them an explanation of the parable of the sower. But not only that, he also tells them about the secret of the kingdom of God and gives them a general explanation of how to understand the parables. Whoever has will be given more. Now, isn't that a fantastic promise? Isn't it great news for us? Do you struggle to understand parts of God's word? Well, persevere. Read it. Consider it. Apply it to your life. Jesus gives you more understanding as you earnestly seek it. Have you ever considered why some new Christians seem to grow in their faith so quickly. You know, it seems remarkable when someone who has just so recently come to Christ, but they can talk so clearly about the Bible and understand the gospel and how it fits together so well. It's remarkable, but it's also quite normal. With the measure they use, it will be measured to them and even more. See, they're eager listeners. They want to understand more about Jesus and his word. They hunger for it. They listen to it. They apply it to their lives. And they are given more understanding and growth in faith. As good soil hearts, we use the word of God to show us how to live. And God's word illuminates any dark areas in our lives, sin. And when we apply the word of God to our lives and repent of those sins, our lives will be more and more filled with light and we become more and more like Jesus. So dive into his word. Read it often. Soak yourself in the word of God. Listen to Jesus. Listen to the preaching of God wherever you can. Don't stay away. Discuss the words in your gospel communities. Apply it to your lives. And God will bless and grow your faith and your joy and your fruit through the word. And in the end, the good soil hearts, the haves, will receive so much more, eternal life. The haves will have more. But on the other hand, the have-nots haven't accepted God's word. They may hear God's word. They may be able to talk about God's word. Perhaps they even have the conviction that God's word is the truth and must be accepted. But they don't have a love for God's word and no desire to follow it. Their hearts are like rocky soil or soil overgrown with thorns. And when the word of God is sown into it, it will die out. Now, they don't want a large measure of God's word. Their measure is too full of other things. Worry about money, possessions, things of this world. And if we allow the thorns of this world to overtake us when we're not in God's word regularly, what will happen is that our hearts will become overgrown by thorns and the cares of this world. And our hearts will become hardened to the good work that God has actually started in us. For whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. So how can you actually have something taken away if you don't actually have it? Well, you may not have the truth, but there are other things that can be taken away. Firstly, your interest in the truth can be taken away. Any curiosity or desire that you have in reading God's word or following God's word may disappear and fade if you don't use his word. Secondly, your conviction of the truth of God's word may be taken away. Without the word shining its light upon the sin in your heart may harden further to the point where any thought of repentance of sin disappears and you desire to live in the darkness. Finally, even your life will be taken away and you will end up in hell. A horrible outcome. But it can happen too easily for us if we're not alert. Have you heard about the slow-boiled frog? A couple of nods. If you put a frog in a saucepan of water and you heat the water slowly enough, really, really slowly, you can heat the water to the point of boiling, killing the frog, without triggering a reflex in the frog to actually jump out of the water. So let's consider, how is our heart situation? Are our hearts being dulled and our interest and desire for God's word lessening? Is your heart hardening in sin? And there's always going to be times in our lives where we're tempted not to follow Jesus and his word. We're very busy. There are so many things to do. And the attractions and the glamours of the world are all about us, clamouring for our attention. And the light of God's word can easily slip from its place on its light stand in our lives and slide under our beds. But that's what the word of God is there for, to show Jesus to us, to teach us, to instruct us, to warn us. So let's wake up, be alert. Let's not be like the slow-boiled frog who dies without realising the danger we're in. Don't be like the seed which grows for a while and then is choked and withered and withers. But the good news is it's never too late. Well, it's not never too late. It's not too late now. We can repent and change. God's word is available. Let's read it. Let's soak ourselves in it and ask for understanding and growth. For the have-nots, he will give if they would but seek and find. So, which soil best describes our heart? And it's probably good not just to look at a point in time like today, but consider a longer period, say 2 years. Have you accepted the word of God in your heart as the word of King Jesus? Have you placed God's word on a light, as a light on a stand? Or are you hiding it away? Are you growing in faith, or are you withering? Each one of us here is responsible for the way that we hear God's word. But the good news is the kingdom of God is freely available, and there's still time to accept. And the promise of God is that if we read his word and try to understand, he will grow that understanding in our lives and will bear fruit. So Jesus has much to give us in this word. Let's accept it and bear fruit. Let's use his word in good measure in every part of our life. And let's grow more and more like our King Jesus. Amen. Let me pray. Dear Lord, we do want to thank you for your word, the light to our lives. Lord, it is you've come into this world and revealed yourself. You revealed your kingdom to those that are here. Lord, you've sown the word of God in hearts, in our hearts. And Lord, you cause it to grow. But you expect a response as well, Lord, to read it and to follow you and to put you in our lives as kings, as the King. And Lord, we pray that our hearts may be more and more changed to be like you, King Jesus. Lord, help us follow your word more and more. Help us hear what it says. Help us understand it. And Lord, you promise we can read more understanding, more wisdom, more growth than we could ever imagine as we hear and apply your word. Father, thank you for that wonderful promise. Thank you for that wonderful gift. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to do that work in our hearts so we could bear fruit and tell others about you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.